Welcome to CareerPod, brought to you by Transition Solutions and the CareerPod team. This episode should provide you with valuable career information and insights.
Today we are speaking with Mr. John Coffey, a dedicated public school teacher. John, welcome to CareerPod, and we appreciate your participation.
Thank you. I'm glad to help out.
I'd like to get started with a little bit about your early life and your educational preparation. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I had a very big interest in music at a very young age. I loved my music classes, and while a lot of kids were out playing sports, like Little League Baseball and Little League Soccer, I was home singing songs, taking my pencils, and, you know, kind of drumming on the sofa, creating rhythm, stuff like that. And then when I was in the fourth grade, I had an opportunity to take a musical instrument, and I decided to take the cello. I did that for about a year. My teacher was the late Michael Falker, and I learned a lot. However, though, I really loved making music with rhythms, clapping, taking pencils and tapping rhythms and things like that. So I switched over to drums, which I've been playing now all my life. In fact, this is probably my 41st year. And all through high school, I did the marching band, I did the chorus, I did the Madrigal Singers, I did the jazz ensemble, and the teachers I had at the time, they were fantastic, that really were instrumental in helping me get accepted to the Berklee College of Music, where I earned my undergrad in music education.
Now, when you came out of that program, did you go right into public school teaching?
I did. And it's interesting because I went right into it because at the time there were not a lot of jobs available because the economy at the time wasn't the best.
Sure.
And I remember my last year in college, many of my professors were saying, look, you know, if you want to teach here in Massachusetts, it's going to be hard until the recession improves. So yeah. I was very fortunate. I did get a job, and I worked full-time right out of college.
Did you have to get certified as a music educator by the state of Massachusetts?
Yes, I did. Today, the kids getting out today who are getting who are public school teachers, they have to take the teacher test. And then they get a teaching license, and they have to go through the primary stage. And I don't know all the details because back when I started out in the profession, there was no teacher test. Basically, if you wanted to teach, you would have to get a degree from an accredited college, and then you would submit your transcript and maybe a Xerox copy of your degree. And, of course, you know, we didn't have emails in those days, so we would send the hard copy to the Department of Education. And then they'd give us back, they would send us our certificate.
In terms of type of teaching and the level in the public education that you teach, have you specialized in a certain grade level?
I did. At the time, I did most of my student teaching, which was my last year in college. I did most of it at the high school level.
Okay.
Because originally I wanted to be a high school band director, doing the marching band, the percussion ensemble, the brass ensemble. And the band, I remember talking to my band director that I had in high school, Gaston Malloy, and he said to me, okay, if you want to be a high school band director, you might want to get a job teaching band instruments at the elementary level and do that for a couple of years to kind of relearn the instruments.
Sure.
So you can play each instrument at a very basic level. So that way, I mean, you could play the concert B-flat scale on a trumpet or a clarinet, just play as many instruments as possible at a very basic level. And that's what I did. So I took my first teaching job teaching elementary, and I found I really enjoyed working with the younger kids. It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
And I've been teaching elementary since my 27th year.
A lot of students you've seen. I want to get a sense of the basic teaching day or week that you would be involved with some of your tasks and responsibilities. What would that be?
I actually teach in three buildings.
Okay.
And because I work in three buildings, I don't really have a classroom of my own. So I basically work out of the trunk of my car.
Sure.
Yeah, it's silly, yeah. But, I mean, I'm always walking in with a trombone or a trumpet or a flute. So it's a lot of moving around. I'm on my feet most of the time. And, in fact, come to think of it, I get a little bit of a workout because a lot of my classes, especially the band classes, are not in a traditional music room. It would be the cafeteria stage. It would be the computer lab. So I found myself moving chairs, setting up music stands and things like that. And that's the challenging part about my job, trying to squeeze in time to do that.
Sure. Now, the curriculum, you're dealing with kindergarten through fourth grade students?
Kindergarten through fifth grade, actually.
Through fifth grade, yeah. So I would assume you have a certain curriculum for each level. And maybe you could talk about the little ones first, the kindergartners. How do you really start out with them in terms of music education?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, like I said, I'm a K through 5 music teacher, but most of my assignment is with the lower elementary, kindergarten, first and second grade. But to answer your question, we do have a curriculum that we're always updating at times. So, for example, with the kindergartners, I think it's crucial to give them the confidence to sing. I really stress the importance of singing. Also, if I give them a tambourine or a cowbell, that they can play a steady beat while listening to music. That's something that's very crucial. Yeah, so I don't get too deep into the fundamentals of music theory at that age level. So I focus on singing, and like I said, if they get a tambourine or if they're playing the xylophone, they'll be playing two notes with a steady beat, especially something, say, in C pentatonic. That way, when they get older and work with my coworkers who teach the older kids, they've got the basic skills.
Sure.
They can move on. Another thing that I do.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we got a grant, and we got ukuleles for some of the schools. And one thing I love about the ukulele, the tuning of the strings, you don't have to finger any strings with your left hand on the fretboard. So any songs in C pentatonic, you don't have to, like I said, press strings on the fretboard. So what I do is I just have the kids hold the ukulele.
Right.
And I'll tell them, don't worry about pressing any strings. Just rest the fretboard on your hand. And with your fingernails, very gently strum the strings. And I'll have them sing any songs in C pentatonic, such as Twinkle Little Star, Ba Ba Black Sheep. And then when they get to the upper grades, my other coworkers that teach ukulele, they can get into the more advanced stuff on how to finger certain chords because they already know how to hold the instrument, how to keep a steady beat with the instrument, and to also sing simple songs as well.
Sure. Now, you visit the three different schools. Do you spend an hour or so every once a week, or is it more than that?
It depends each year. This past year, on Mondays, I was in one building all day long. And then Tuesday, I would be in that same building. And in the afternoon, I would travel to another building.
Okay.
And on Wednesday morning, I would be in that building again. And then Wednesday afternoon, I would travel to another building. So simply put, I would work in one building in the morning, and I would go to another building in the afternoon, except for Mondays. That I enjoyed, I mean, because, you know, Monday's a tough day for some people.
Yeah.
Because I'm in one building all day.
Sure. So is it about a 40-hour week if you add it all up?
I would say so, yeah. Probably even more at times because we do evening concerts. Years ago, we had one of our ensembles play at a school committee meeting and so forth.
Sure.
On Flag Day every year, we go to the center of town, and the chorus or the band, they'll play some songs for the community and things like that. Yeah.
Right. So at that level, K through 5, you have an ensemble or a band. are they playing like a flute, or is it a singing concert, or how does that work?
Well, in the third grade, they learned the soprano recorder.
Okay.
And there they had, that's where they learned the basic skills of playing music on an instrument and with their fingers covering the holes of the instrument and playing simple melodies. And then in the fourth grade, that's where they had the opportunity to take a band or a string instrument.
That would be so like a trumpet or a saxophone?
Yep, the instruments that we have is the flute, the clarinet, the trumpet, and the trombone. And for the orchestra program, we have the violin, the viola, and the cello.
Okay. So
first year, they learn the basics, and then as fifth graders, they work as continuing students, and that's where we get into more advanced stuff.
All right. As a K-5 teacher, do you interact with, let's say, the middle school music teachers and sort of work with them, explaining to them, you know, the group of students that are coming in, the nature of the individual students, their learning style, and their level of talent or commitment? Do you have that conversation?
Absolutely. Yep, we do. In fact, every school year when our fifth graders are getting ready to register for music courses at the middle school, we will usually talk with the middle school teachers about the students who have signed up, their strengths, their weaknesses, and so forth, songs that they love to play for their own amusement. That way, when they get to the fifth grade, they're not starting from scratch. They have somewhat of an idea of the level of playing that the children have, so they can take it from there.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Yep. So we do. Yep.
The teachers do. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
The idea of emerging technologies in education, you've been doing this many years. Have you seen changes in technology and how you use it in teaching?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
When I started out in the profession, I mean, nobody had email. I mean, we didn't have we had the internet, but people hardly used it. And so that's a big difference I've noticed, especially the last 8 to 10 years. So I've been utilizing that as much as possible. And it was really helpful, especially these last couple of months when schools were closed down due to the coronavirus. And we had to work remotely. Which worked out. I mean, it wasn't ideal, but I always thought to myself, wow, if this happened 20 or 30 years ago, how could we work with the kids? And I thought we'd probably have to do correspondence, just send hard copies in the mail of papers to do. They mail them back.
That's the case where the internet really played the critical role when the schools weren't open and we were into COVID-19. I can understand that. I want to get a sense of the satisfaction you get as an educator. What do you think is the most satisfying part of your job?
When I see former students, in fact, there's two former students of mine that are working in my school district. One is a school nurse who played French horn many years ago with me. And the other one is a teaching assistant. And even though they never pursued music as a career, I mean, they always say to me, yeah, I enjoyed your classes. I enjoyed playing.
Yes.
And that's something I find very satisfying, rather.
Now, on the flip side of that, I like any job, I think there are some frustrating things. In your work, what do you find most frustrating?
Probably working conditions that are not ideal.
Yeah.
Like I said, I work in three buildings, so it's not unusual for me or even my coworkers to teach on the cafeteria stage during the lunch cleanup. So we'll be teaching a class, and the custodians will be running their machines, cleaning the floor. And, the cafeteria workers, they'll be walloping the pots and pans. And it's hard. It's hard. But to make it a positive thing, they're aware of it, and they try their best to keep their noise to a minimal.
Yeah.
And I know with the custodians, when it's time for a concert, They've been extremely helpful setting up the chorus risers or helping me with the PA system. That way I can devote more time getting the kids organized. So it's good to kind of look at the positive thing about it there.
Yeah.
And sometimes while the custodians are cleaning up, the kids will say, hey, can we play a song for the custodian?
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, so they do a little recital, and that works out well.
That's great. The profession itself and part of CareerPod is that the purpose of it is to help people who are coming out of either high school, college, or mid-level career people looking for a change in career to help them understand what you do, and I think you've explained that pretty well, and how you feel about what you do, and I sense that you get a lot of satisfaction out of it. There are frustrating moments, as you described, but in terms of the sort of other aspects of this work, the idea of the range of salary that one could earn, and I'm not asking for an exact number, but let's say someone's coming out of college, they're certified, and they enter a school system. Do you have a sense of what the annual pay would be?
Yes. Well, to begin with, it depends on the school district.
Okay.
Some school districts that pay more money. There are some that pay less. When I started out in the profession almost 30 years ago, I made $23,000, which was pretty decent money back in those days.
Sure.
So I think roughly for the people getting out today, their first-year teachers, I think, but again, I'm not 100% sure. Probably in the 50s, 50,000s perhaps.
Oh, okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
And do they have the school system usually has a contract of some kind?
Yes, we do. Yep. The teachers' union, we have a contract that we renew every 3 to 5 years with the school committee, and that involves the raises in our salaries.
Sure. The school year, as we know, usually goes from September to June, and July, August, and coming into early September, what would you be doing if you're not teaching?
Well, I think teachers today, in my opinion, even though they have summers off,
right,
the internet and websites, well, speaking for myself, I'll check my email daily just to stay in the loop. I'll get updates from the principals and the superintendents. There was one year when we had to do some updating on the curriculum. So we made a proposal to the superintendent, and we were able to set up some time during the summer months to update the curriculum. And we were able to get CEUs, continuing education credits, which is something we need. Yeah, which is one of the things that people do to renew their teaching license every 5 years.
I see. Some teachers that I've spoken to also do other types of work. So one gentleman I knew, he was painting houses, and he was still getting his teacher's pay because his annual rate was divided into the 52 weeks. So even though he wasn't teaching in the summer, he still had a consistent check coming in.
Yep, that's correct. That's correct. I don't know all the details, but I think when you really do the math, and again, I'm not 100% sure, the salaries that we have is really from September 1 to June 30th.
Okay.
But we get the checks throughout the summer. I know my first job in Littleton many years ago, we had an option to get paid regularly from September until June.
Right.
And not get anything during the summer. And I remember the superintendent saying, you know, I recommend that you get paid during the summer. You might have which means you'll get less money in a paycheck, but at least you won't have to budget your money accordingly.
Sure. The other benefits in terms of the medical, other insurances, and time off. I know that you have school vacations over the holidays in December, and then again in the spring. that's something that I think is pretty nice. You get a little time off there, and that's a good way to get a little bit of rest. But Hetty, do you like that aspect of it?
I do, actually, yeah. The only drawback I can think of is teachers don't have the option to vacation on the off-season time when it's less crowded and less expensive.
Oh, good point.
So, for example, yeah, so if you, let's say if you wanted to go to Disney World during the February vacation.
Right.
That's when a lot of parents take time off from work, and that's the busiest season, and you're going to pay more money.
Yeah. The fact that you moved into this profession, John, and you certainly learned a lot and know a lot about it, what would you advise someone who's coming into the profession in terms of preparing themselves or different types of personalities to teach young elementary school teachers and must take a lot of patience?
It does, yeah. Well, to begin with, we can't forget the basic skills we learned growing up. Thinking about my job at Thackeray's when I was a busboy back when I was 16 years old.
Right.
The restaurant manager said, okay, you come home from school, your shift begins at 4 o'clock, but you should be walking in at 3:55.
Right.
One thing that my father told me a long time ago, who worked for the Dedham Public Schools,
right,
he said to me, you know, 50% of the success of your job is getting along with your coworkers and working with them. You'll be working with people that might not agree with you on some matters.
Sure.
But if you're diligent and work as a professional, you can get through that. And that's something that's really important, especially in public education, working with children, I think.
Yeah. In terms of an interesting, funny, or exciting story that you experienced in your career, does anything come to mind?
Yes. And this has to do with technology and the internet. Beware of your surroundings when you're out and about, going out for supper or visiting friends in public places.
Right.
Because everybody has cell phones where they can take video and email it to people. And it's funny. I remember years ago I was talking with a gentleman at a restaurant up in Newburyport. And it was a hot summer afternoon, and this person was wearing a tank top and, you know, holding a Bud Light. And this person turned out to be the superintendent in one of the towns nearby. Now, there was nothing wrong with that. I mean,
right.
it was his own personal time.
Right.
But I remember thinking to myself, okay, I hope there wasn't anybody from that town with a cell phone who took some video of that and then sent it to, you know, the school committee. So. Yeah, so simply put, you know, off-duty conduct, you got to be very thoughtful on.
Okay, sure.
When you're in public places.
Yeah. The role of luck, good luck or bad luck, has that played a role in your career?
Absolutely, yes. Yep. In fact, my first teaching job, I got off to a very unorganized start. The principal who hired me decided to retire unexpectedly at the last minute in the middle of the summer. So
yeah.
My first year teaching right out of college, I did not have a principal to work under. Now the school superintendent stepped up to the plate and worked as the acting principal. And he was very helpful, but he really didn't know any more than I did. So that was a rocky start. And I ended up leaving that system 2 years later. But the experience was good. Because I know when I went to my next job, you know, I had an idea of what to expect and what not to expect. So my current job in Sharon, it'll be my 22nd year. This September I've been there. I was very fortunate. The principals that hired me back then were veteran educators, and they've been retired now for some time, and they basically got me off on the right foot.
Sure.
And that has contributed to my success.
John, before we finish up, I would just like to read a quote from the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who said,
okay.
life without music is a mistake. So how do you feel about life without music?
I agree. Yep. You'll talk to people and they'll say, yeah, you know, whenever I'm ironing my shirts or cleaning the house, I'll put the TV on and listen to the news just to hear that sound in the background.
Right.
And they'll say, I'll put on a CD and listen to Tchaikovsky or the Beatles.
Right.
And so, yes, I do agree. And on a funny note,
yeah,
in the summer months, I'll occasionally go into the buildings to touch base with the principals, and the custodians will be really hot at work, waxing the floors and cleaning the rooms, and they'll have boom boxes all over the building blasting music.
Yeah.
And I think they do that. I'm sure they do that to motivate them. They'll hear their favorite songs and they'll be like, ah, this is cool. And they really do their jobs well.
Sure. It's a good story. Anyway, John, you have provided CareerPod with an insightful look as a career in public education. Your excellent advice it will be of great value to anybody considering a career in public education. Once again, I want to thank you for your contribution today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I really enjoyed helping out.
That's great. And you have a good day. Keep that teaching going.
Thank you very much.